This is Shayna.
And Chris.
And we are Bad Queers. If you came out of the closet and got put in a box of stereotypes you don't belong to, then welcome to the Bad Queers Club.
All right. This week in Queer Urban Dictionary, I have psych-a-dyke. Psych-a-dyke. It's not a toy. I think this is a term probably not to be used anymore, but I don't know, because it could be. We'll let the folks decide if it's offensive. But psych-a-dyke is a term for straight or heterosexual females when they are intimately involved with people of the opposite sex and label themselves as homosexual in an act to trap an actual lesbian or bisexual. Let me read that again. So it's a term for straight and heterosexual females that act homosexual to trap an actual lesbian or bisexual. My sentence is, some may say psych-a-dykes are deceiving women who pretend to be homosexual for the fun of it or trend. So I guess, yeah, you could say it. It's actually fine. We don't really care about hetero feelings.
This is like a fucking, this seems like what it would be if it was a TikTok trend and the children were like, oh, let's play a little psych-a-dyke and see how many of the dollar beans we can find on these streets and do all of this. Beans. That's what I feel like this whole psych-a-dyke thing is. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Could be a whole thing.
This would be a whole thing. I mean, this kind of is a whole thing. Somebody goes out and thinks that they're such hot shit that they're just like, you know what? I'm going to go psych-a-dyke this bitch. Like, let's go. Like, I could hear somebody just beating their friend the group saying that shit.
Yeah. Probably a flock of them in the club.
It would have to be a gaggle.
Of psych-a-dykes. Mm. Yep. You could probably spot them pretty easily.
Most of the time, they're probably going to be in, you know, those matching shirts with those sashes.
Yeah.
Getting drunk for the day. Thinking that, oh, it's my last night out of freedom. Is that cheating if I hook up with a girl, right?
It's like, what are the other things that kind of flag a straight girl in the... A psych-a-dyke.
When she's fresh from a breakup. And she's like, fuck
men. Oh, you know, I guess the biggest one would be overly friendly. Because it's like, wait... out here taking chances and being very forward, like
because the things the queers that we should be. Queers don't do that.
We don't
so
do that.
If they're doing that, then that's how you know you're being psych-a-dyke.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. If they're really forward without like looking nervous, they know what they're doing.
They know what
they're doing. They're psych-a-dykes. Yeah, that's how you tell. Wow. Look how we solved that.
We just figured that out.
You're welcome.
High five, friend.
Here we go.
Boom.
Here we go.
Okay, my Queer Urban Dictionary word of the week is second queer adolescence. Second queer adolescence. Shout out to the Healthline on Instagram for this definition. Oh. So the idea is that queer people live their teenage years twice. First, living out the identities that they were told that they should embody, aka heteronormative. And then the second time as their queer selves.
Mm. I feel like... Welcome to my life.
You know, I feel like this is more so for like the millennials up. Like Gen Z is coming out way sooner, but I feel like millennials up, we definitely had to have a second queer adolescence.
Absolutely.
And to just make my sentence, my second queer adolescence was a mess. Like the whole first part of the years was a mess. I was just...
It almost had to be though.
Trying and failing and trying and failing. And then one day it all slowly started to come together and life was great. And now, you know, we're killing it in our 30s and...
Yeah,
that's where we're at. So yeah, second queer adolescence for us millennials and up.
Yeah.
That's what we had to do.
Yeah. It's not so bad. I mean, we definitely judged the straights during high school and all that.
I mean, like, yeah, I definitely had questions for a lot of the things that my friends did.
Yeah.
And continue to do.
Why are y'all sucking dick in the computer lab? Like things like that, like decision making, where I was like, why? Like we're in school.
Decision making.
And then all that happened in college. So yeah.
Here
just 10 years off. 10 years off for some of us. Or more years. Yeah, there, you know, some of us are going through our second queer adolescence like in our 40s and 50s and 60s, which is okay.
This is okay.
But yeah, luckily the younger generation shouldn't have to do this. But, you know, it depends on the situation and safety and all that. But
all the above.
It's really a thing. It is quite a thing.
Here we are. All right, let's go ahead and praise Billy Porter. The category is, and what it naturally is, man, we have to wrap this up because we hit the L word finale. We made
word association. What's the first word that comes to mind when you think of the finale?
The first word.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Is that just, really it?
Just literally, damn.
Yeah.
Every scenario that happened within each of those, you were just like, ah, damn. 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 Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
I didn't see the earlier episodes, but I was just disappointed. I was like, this is it.
Yeah. It was an unfortunate ending. It was underwhelming. Yeah. It was underwhelming.
Yeah.
And
it may be because so much was happening in the season, but I was like super underwhelmed. I was like, really?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, they left it off in the clean. You know, they did a lot. They did a lot. They did a lot. But it was very, it was just underwhelming. It was like, oh, okay.
You know, okay. Obviously, I mean, y'all know this is happening. I'm not even spoilering alerted, but here you go if you need it. If the next season does not start off with some like Orange is the New Black type vibes of Danny being held in prison, I'm upset.
Mm.
And that's just how I feel like at this rate, we deserve this. We deserve this.
Yeah. Danny in prison.
That's how I feel. That is how I feel. The Bet and Tina.
That's all I on my mind. Like, I just posted something to our stories, but I was just like, why? Why these two? Why?
We don't.
Why? Why? Don't. Some people don't need to be together. Like, I don't
nobody
even.
Needed it.
I didn't really like them when they were together. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a beautiful child together.
Mm-hmm.
Co-parenting. All right. I don't think they need to revisit this, like, at all.
They don't.
Like, they really don't. I'm begging that we don't go down this road.
No.
Like, please don't. Like, please no. don't. Yeah, I
like
don't want
we it. Had the opportunity for Bet to have a strong ass, beautiful Black woman in her life, doing her things, matching up to the thing that we've always thought that Bet should be dating.
Yeah.
Finally, the example of the person where she is willing to submit and actually tries in this relationship and worries about the other person's feelings, but also still turns to them and tells them her emotions and different things like that.
Yeah.
To then go back to Tina. Like, we don't need this.
And it's just that because it's Peppa. It's just, and that she's Black. It's like, who the fuck wants to see Bet and Tina together? Like, who the hell wants that?
That's the end of the day. Yes.
It wasn't even the most interesting relationship on the old episodes. Like, mm-mm. That was like, you knew they were going to, like, they weren't going to last and everything. Like, in the times that I've seen them together, and again, I missed season one, so might be leaving out a lot of context for me, I was just like,
not really.
Where did this come from? Like, I feel like this just bubbled up where they're just like, wait a minute. Oh. And it's like, no. Oh, like,
I feel like they got their contracts renewed around the time that they started pushing that narrative. They're like, oh, we're gonna get another season. So let's go ahead and just start pushing this narrative so that we have some more drama for next season.
Yeah. No. That stuck out the most where it was just like, this is a no for me. It's a hard no, actually. But look, they might do it. They might do it. God bless them. What are some other things that happened? Finley for sure. We'll get to Finley. Shane not wanting to leave, which I'm like, I mean, it's Las Vegas. Like, it's not that far away. Like, they're still in LA, and I know you got your friends group, but I'm like, I mean, for love, you should move.
What? I supported Shane's decision.
Nah.
Like, that's a whole, you are Tess, who there's no ring, there's no anything else. You're asking me to give up my business and my whole livelihood to then just up and move so that you can take care of your mom. When but we are at a travelable LA. Distance.
It's like Las Vegas, LA. Like,
they're at a travelable commute. Distance. Yeah, they can commute with their relationship. That's totally fine. Shane doesn't need to move. Plus, y'all are going to need an escape if you're going to be taking care of a parent. We still don't understand, like, really what's happening with Tessa's mom. But
very true.
If it's, you know, if it's dementia, it's one of those things where, okay, go and then come and escape back to my place. You've been over here driving back and forth to Las Vegas. I'm driving back and forth to Las Vegas. We have traveled to the ends of the earth. As a queer person, I feel like it's okay. feel like it's
I okay. think it's, but Shane, for Shane's history though, given Shane's history and the fact that those two were able to get past Sherry Jeffries or whatever her name is, I think it's worth it. I don't think Shane's really taken a lot of chances in any of the relationships she's been in. She's fucked them up, but I don't think she's like had to like jump out the window for it and all that. So like, I do think it's time for Shane to kind of make a change, a big change, and like take a leap of faith and all that. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, if shit doesn't work out, move your ass back to Los Angeles. Like, it's not even that big. It's not like she's telling her she's moving to Spain and like, come with me. Like, I just think it's worth it for love and for Shane to have that stability and the way in which their storyline worked out. I was like, why not? Like, why not? Shane, there's nothing holding Shane there that Shane can't do in like Las Vegas. Like, Shane's not running anything that can't be replicated elsewhere. All that. I'm like, what are you waiting for? What do you have there? You have a great friends group. You can see, but
I love.
I don't know
this storyline that you've come up with.
Yeah,
in that, like, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing that you're saying. I still say. No, girl, test it out for a little bit longer. There's too many questions. We'll there's too many question marks in between this relationship right now. We still don't know all of the things that are happening with Tess. Yes, Shane seems to be head over heels in love, which means that Shane will actually make it work. Maybe this holds Shane accountable to actually set up a schedule of visiting and communication and all of the healthy boundaries that she should be setting rather than jumping into just moving in together.
You think that Shane would be good at a long distance relationship, knowing what we know about Shane?
This is the opportunity for Shane to hold themselves accountable. Not everybody's cut out. And do these
not
things.
Everybody's cut out for if, a long distance. Like, not that's everybody what you're is
gonna
cut
be
out.
Doing, If nah. then if that's what you're going to be doing, if you're not willing to change when you go into that relationship, then you don't deserve Tess. And that's all I have to say.
No, I just don't think everybody's cut out for long distance. And that doesn't make anybody like not work. It just, in some cases, somebody might have to step up. Like, I think that Shane, again, what is Shane leaving behind? What's Shane leaving behind that she can't see? They all her friends group, they had their involved or in like serious relationships or usually keeps businesses. A serious one around and serious businesses. Mm-hmm. And Shane, I mean, again, like she would be moving to Vegas. Like you can open a bar in Vegas. Like I think it's worth the leap. Or obviously they could just break up. But Shane is not a long distance person. And there are a lot of queers who is like, it is not for everybody. Like, and that is fine.
It's not.
I'm like, and that's what I mean. I only mean that Shane has like, I don't remember Shane taking such big leaps for love. Like,
I will agree.
She's definitely made like rash decisions and like, or whatever. But like, Shane don't be taking no chances for real.
That's fair.
But yeah, I do think that there are some questions to answer.
There are some you got to see the situation. I feel like at least like a 3 month see what happens and then go from there.
Like maybe the process of moving like, is you know, over 6 months.
Need to be all at once. Yeah. I feel like y'all need to take a little time to do that because Tess still has a lot of skeptical stuff too. Like we know Shane's
very
shit.
True.
We don't know all of Tess's shit.
We don't. We do not know.
Some education to happen and some research to happen and some like short-term, long-term, like maybe Shane goes and stays for like 2 weeks and then comes back and then, you know, back and forth, you get a drawer, you get stupid. A closet. Just two weeks. Do like a extended one, have like maybe a month later down the line, you know, test some things out. And then after an allotted set of time, then move. I love how invested we are in these fictional characters.
Right, exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
Somebody's well, that's because
the fucking like, finale was boring. All that. Like, it was boring as fuck. Look at us diving deep into if Shane is long-distance relationship material. It's because it was like, the hell is this episode? Like, I was watching it and I was just like, no, something's gonna happen. Like, but then I guess looking back on it, what could be is like the season was a little nuts and maybe they really kind of had tied up most things. Like you knew, like we could get to Finley now. Like we knew that they were gonna do the intervention and how that was probably gonna go.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, not this past episode, but the episode before probably could have been the season finale.
Yeah, exactly. And that would have been better. So that's actually it. That's perfect. That is really it. It was one too many episodes, which it's already a short.
It was like they
season.
Finished a ton of things that previous episode with the dad dying, with getting ready for the intervention, all of these things that like we led up to Danny yep. about to like testify at her dad's stuff. And so mm-hmm. then it was like, oh, we had to like try and wrap this up instead of just like leaving it. Like we could have edited some things that happened in that episode before the last episode. And yeah. that would have been a yeah. really solid finale.
Yeah. Yeah. That it would have been perfect. That is absolutely right. Like, I feel like it was like a lot of bullshit. And then like the finale part was like Bette and Tina, which I was already frustrated. Like, this better not. And of course it ends like that way where I'm like, who wants this? Mm-hmm. And maybe the older, you know, the older lesbians want this or whatever and have that attachment. But I didn't have anybody I knew around me that watched the show that particularly cared about Bette and Tina together.
Yeah.
And everything. Yep. So I hope they don't serve that up. But 20s comes on tonight. So
that's I'm excited really what for matters.
That. Yeah.
That's and B. Scott is doing the official after show for
yeah,
it.
Yeah. 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 So I'm excited better. For it.
Even yeah. better. Shout out to them for doing yeah. that. So everybody go and watch 20s.
More queer stuff.
More queer
content.
Yep. All right. On to the next one. Next category is sports.
Sports. Yeah. We're continuing
sports. On the sports because sports continue to fuck it up. But now we've expanded. Expanded, like, besides the fact that, yes, obviously we're going to talk about women's sports first because we deserve mm-hmm. everything. But mm-hmm. then we're going to spread over to the NFL and their fuck shit too.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I got a lot right, of nasty things going over there. But yeah, let's start with, can you give us the update on the NSWL?
Well, close.
What was it?
Close. NWSL.
There we go. Yes, there we are.
Very close.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Should they go by NW? It's all right. We'll talk about it later.
I actually love that. Yes. even though they're trying to get rid of the W and they're just trying to be the NSL.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, you know. So we'll yeah. see.
I was about to say missile. It just doesn't go out the same way.
It doesn't go out. But end up.
It's all right.
End up. I can work with end up.
Okay.
Right. So first off, they were going to have the NWSL final at Portland in their stadium. Again, this is like the third or fourth time that they would have hosted it. And it's mainly because they do have the fan base there.
Mm-hmm.
Their fans are Portland's consistent. A good soccer they will show city. Up for everybody. Yes, they will do it. The other teams were upset about this because Portland is one of the few teams that still has a turf field. Everybody likes playing on grass. Mm. And because
fuck turfs just all around, honestly, if anybody has a turf and, you know, obviously turf and then like the turf field, if you've ever had an injury on turf. That's I like, have. Fuck turfs. Just all around.
Fuck turfs.
Down got turfs.
It. That yeah. was great. So yeah. So they were going to have that and they were going to have it at 9 a.m. in the morning, in which none of their games are played that early. That's like us being 8-year-olds playing yeah. at that time growing up. And so there was a whole thing because that you basically means games. That they start their day as professionals. They start their day at like 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
To then prepare for to play for that game. So that was a whole thing. But then because of all of the sexual harassment that's come out and all the issues and how Portland has played a part in that, they have officially moved the finals to the Louisville Stadium. Hmm. And it was a whole thing before that because I think Louisville and Orlando had their hats in the ring to host the final. And I then had for questions some reason
about Louisville. I was like, is that the only place it would have made more well, sense. Well,
they're
Orlando.
Like they're the newest team.
Okay.
So they have like the new facilities and all that fun stuff.
No offense to our Kentucky listeners.
They've said they're like, you know what? They're over there yeah. like, you know what? Fair. Fair.
Right. Yeah. I know. I was like,
but yeah, but yeah. for some reason they pulled out when they had like the initial bid, those two teams pulled out of their bid
okay.
to host it there. We don't know why. This is still a mystery. Nobody has found out why. But now it's been moved to Louisville, especially after everything has happened and all the players have spoken out. And it's happening at 12 noon Eastern time instead of 9. Or like it's still in the range of that. But now because it's in Central time, it's at like 11. So it's a better time. Mm. Even though we know that they deserve the primetime spot. Same with the WNBA. Yeah. We all deserve the primetime spots, but they won't give it to us because college football and shit. So,
yeah, but I was going to ask, is it the finals on a Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
They should, yeah, they could have done like late evening or something, you know?
Yeah, nope. They said especially on a Saturday. Conflicting schedules and that a lot of time was not open. So they have done this. Almost every team at this point has spoken up and out about all of the allegations. T-shirts have been made. Games have been rescheduled. Lots of different demands are being made and things. So it seems like there's going to be continued firings. There's going to be continued changes to their processes. And at the end of the season, I feel like there's going to be a lot more spoken out. These are my assumptions. These are my guesses. On top of that, internationally, we've had more teams, you know, come together at the 6 minute mark, arms around each other, holding each other in honor of the NWSL and all the players there, because a lot of players that play in the NWSL do play overseas in Europe and stuff. So it's a whole mix of that. But they did just recently have a player who is a long time, long standing player on the Matildas, which is the Australia team. And she spoke out. Yeah, it's a good time. She spoke out and talked about the history of like feeling harassed and abused at in their league. And hold on, I'm going to pull this up because shit's crazy. So as soon as she spoke up, it was like their PR team was like, no, no. Nope, we're not going to be like the U.S. We're going to
nip
this in the bud real quick. And all of the players who have recently, basically, who are currently on the Matildas made like a joint statement and to say, basically to say like, oh, while we recognize the seriousness of Lisa's allegations, our team represents these positive values and we do all of these things. And then like, you know, we're all supportive of athletes who come forward, but basically we're here to say that like we haven't had that experience. So we're all going to speak up in that way. They all signed it. And then in their captions, they went and were like, I've been a, like Sam Kerr put, I've been a part of this team for 13 amazing years from 15 years old to now 28. Throughout my career, the Matildas has been a safe haven for me and allowed me to grow into the player and person I am today. I count myself lucky to be a part of this amazing group of athletes and people. And then all of the teammates every single one of them made this post. Every single one of them put something in their caption to talk about how they love the team and are safe and all of this other stuff. And the then every one to of
do
them
the person violated. I hate when people do that. Like,
and then on top of that, the entire team went to every other team member's post and dropped a heart. So every one of them liked it and left a heart in the comments. So it was like a whole tactic that they did.
I found my bad core opinion. I didn't have one before, but I am ready.
Now you it is like, I have arrived. So
there it is.
It was, it's so fucked up because Lisa, who's the player that they're talking about, she is like, she is one of the longest time played. Like she's on the Christine Sinclair, Abby Wambach level of soccer. And to have that happen, like it was like she spoke out and not even 24 hours later, that whole page went out. All the players had somehow signed it. All of them posted on their Instagram and then every one of them dropped hearts in the chat or in the comments. I was just like, ooh, these are two whole different conversations here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy. Wild. Wow.
So there's that. And on top of that, the WNBA players are starting to come back and speak up and speak out as well.
It's going to happen. It's going to be like Me Too in sports.
Lack of, and they're going to have to change all their sponsorship stuff, the way that they like pay. Like it's going to be one of those like how the NCAA just made it so that they could get paid. And it's going to have to change in this area. Going.
It's going to be like I mentioned before that there have been some like men's sports and college and everything that like they're talking about it. And I feel like it's not as publicized, but I was like, it's only going to keep happening because one thing about our generation, younger generation is we're going to say something, you know, and unfortunately the past generations didn't have the space to and wouldn't, you know, have been believed or at least have the outlets to do it. But like, there's going to be more people it across all sports that talk about it because again it's just like it's a breeding ground for predators really once you think about it, especially coaches and GMs and you know higher level folks. So it's going to be a lot of that. It is going to be a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So, and I hope that people do keep speaking up. I don't really care about statute of limitations. I think if you do something fucked up, it's fair game.
It's come out forever.
At any point. Yeah.
It's a forever.
I hate the people who are like, why did you wait to? No. Like, it's coming out. You're not asking the person why they did this. You're asking me why I waited to tell or something, which is so weird.
Which is so fucked up.
It's ass backwards, too. To it be is. Like, besides what this terrible person did, why did you wait to tell us, such and such time? And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, I wouldn't even have to wait to say anything if this person didn't violate me, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyways, more with the WNBA. We're in the finals. We're one game down. Game two is tonight. Chicago Sky, Phoenix Mercury.
Yep.
Chicago Sky is up 1-0. Who is winning this series in your mind? Who you got? Who you picking?
Chicago is winning this series.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think is going to win the championship?
Chicago is winning this championship.
Really?
Because once they win this series, they're winning the championship. They're in the finals. This is the last of the last. Like, I don't
know. Who do you...
But what else do you want it? Chicago is winning. Chicago is winning it all.
Has a chance at all?
Oh, they absolutely have a chance. This is going to be a fight to the finish. I didn't say it was going to be like a sweep. It's not going to be a sweep by any means.
Okay. I mean, sure you just said it so confidently. I was like, am I asking you this right?
Like, that's why I was wondering why you're asking me in so many different ways.
Yeah, because I was like, wait a minute. Okay. So you said it so confidently. I was like, you didn't want to. I mean, because this is a very good matchup.
Look, this is one of the best matchups right now.
Yeah.
And I am a big Mercury fan. I love the Mercury. They were one of... I need you to listen.
Chicago Sky is winning this. Wait a minute. Let me rephrase the question then. Who do you think is going to win the championship?
Still the Chicago Sky.
Jesus.
Mainly because, one, Phoenix has lost a few of their key players to injuries now.
Okay.
Which is really unfortunate. But they're still going to kill it. And for some reason, Diana is just magically floating stuff off her hand. Like, it's... Yeah. Stupid the amount that she can still score. Same with Sue. And there is just this glimmer of a drive that I see with Chicago right now, because they are here to redeem Candace Parker.
Yeah.
The
momentum is wild.
She came back home to Chicago. She is ready to go.
Yeah.
Ready to go. And that's why I think it's going to be Chicago. I love Phoenix. I lived there. I went to the games a bunch. I love everything that they're doing. But right now, rooting for Chicago.
I'm going to go with Phoenix because I'm, it's contrarian, first off. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, I don't know, because it is like a twin destiny kind of thing going on between Diana Taurasi and Candace Parker, where it's like either one is a Disney story. So it could go either way. I think with full rest and some time that the Mercury will win tonight and steal one and get one back to even the series, which kind of leads us to our next story. Diana Taurasi was talking about the WNBA players paying for everything and being frustrated about that. So let me read off what was surrounding game one, because I thought that this is nuts. Like, I know that the WNBA's resources aren't the same, obviously, as the NBA or any big time sports. But I thought that the turnaround for game one was pretty wild. So after they took it to the edge of the series in the semifinals, they had to leave Vegas. Well, Taurasi herself, obviously, with the baby too, having to get back to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. But they didn't get to practice. So they flew back to Phoenix 10 a.m. on Saturday. By the time they landed, it was already early afternoon. The coaching staff spent Saturday cutting tape and preparing for game one, which was on Sunday, which means that the Mercury didn't get a practice day before the finals and only started watching film on Sunday morning, which is nuts.
That's studying for your test that you hope you do well on.
Right. cramming for game one of the finals.
Couple hours. Yeah. That's it.
It's wild. And we've all done it and we know the results. So,
yeah. Yes.
Or usually the results of it. Yes. So, yeah, like I just think, I don't even know scheduling wise why the WNBA would do that. Like, you know, knowing that they don't have the same resources. Like, why wouldn't you just, like, game one could be on Monday. Like, it would have been cool with, game one on a Sunday and people are home. And obviously they want to keep the momentum of, like, the viewership. But, yeah, that's fucked up. Like, at least, or at least provide finals level of accommodations. Like, they should have a private plane at least to make sure that these, you know, players are rested and everything. So, we'll see what happens.
They had to pay for the charter.
Yeah. 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 That was part of the article, too. Yeah. And she mentioned...
Think of like LeBron or somebody.
They would never.
Had to go and like fly home for his wife's birth.
Yeah. And having to make all the arrangements and pay for it.
They would have had a golf cart sitting at the court ready to whisk him off.
They would have interviewed him post-game on the jet.
On the jet. Yep.
On the jet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like that's how that would have gone. Like, LeBron, can we get some, like they would have had a conversation, like a whole interview conversation. Like it would have just, it's night and day, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a good finals. I definitely think that it is going to go the full series, but we will see what happens tonight with rest and time and all that. Mm-hmm. I hope the rest of the schedule is like, again, enough days for them to, you know, travel and practice.
Right.
Just the least they could do.
God damn.
So, and Diana Taurasi was like, shout out to that Russian money I make playing overseas. That's
she
a shame.
Like, I invested very well in myself.
Yeah.
After shout that, to make sure that I didn't do anything crazy with the money.
Overseas money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That That's European well. Basketball money come through.
That Euro basketball money. That is something else. Well, right. WNBA will get there. This has been definitely a really good season for them. But jeez, like that's pretty bad. That's nuts.
With all the viewership and all the changes that have happened between last year and this year, I'm hoping that they start to get a lot more calls from sponsors and some changes that I'm sure NECA is over here still fighting for.
Yeah.
To get in here. So basically give NECA anything that she wants.
Right.
Because it's clearly making things better, and stop making certain things so difficult to make accessible for women to have a living.
Yeah.
Playing sports.
And they're really good at advocating for themselves and others. So the best in all the leagues, the WNBA is. So, you know, I'm sure they'll get there. And plus you'll have some people retire. And that is one thing, the pipeline from like player to like either owning a team or coaching. I know Atlanta Dream just hired a former player, WNBA player. I forgot her name, but like they, at least they're good about that.
Yeah,
seemingly. So. Facts. You'll have more people come in because, you know, once like Taurasi retires and Sue, like, you know, it's, they're going to take management positions, hopefully, or ownership positions. So we'll see.
I feel like Sue's going to coach.
Sue's probably going to coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see Taurasi putting together a team and being a GM or who knows, maybe just being an analyst. All the things. They're going to just throw all the money at them. Just all the money. Just take it. All right. So switching on to more even nastier things going on in sports, John Gruden, the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, resigned the other day. He was going to get fired, but he resigned.
Yep. He tried to save that pension.
Right, exactly. they are investigating the Washington football team for various things and creating an atmosphere of like sexual harassment and everything. But these emails came out with the head coach, John Gruden, talking to the GM of the Washington team at the time, where it spans like 10 years of emails, but he insulted everybody, like black people, women, queer people. And, you know, most people who hate those groups. I mean, it's pretty aligned. Like if you don't like black people, you're probably misogynistic and you're probably homophobic and transphobic. So, but he just like to put it all on email and written word and everything on a, company server is very interesting, but his emails came out.
It's like, thanks for leaving these receipts here.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting to see who else comes out of this, because he's not going to be the only guy. Like, there were a bunch of CEOs on that thread. The conspiracy theory going on too is that Jeff Bezos wants a NFL team, and one is not available, and he owns the Washington Post. And this was published in one of their publications. So, like, they're saying, like, Bezos wants a team, he's going to get this team.
Damn.
So that's like messy billionaire gossip that's not in space. But yeah, this was very interesting. John Gruden, as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, if you remember, Carl Nassib came out. Mm-hmm. So he was on that team. So very interesting, because he, you know, he made in one of the emails John Gruden was talking about during the Michael Sam getting drafted, like, why are they letting queers into the league? And that no one should be pressured to draft queers and everything. So very interesting about, we talked about that before with Carl, with like waiting until he like got his good contract and was like secure with the team because he's really good to like come out. And that is why you have to, because that's how, you know, these aren't just opinions or jokes. This is how it manifests. And now people are looking back into, you know, all of the John Gruden's dealings and everything, how he had a, he's never hired a black coordinator and everything. He talked about women being referees and he literally insulted everybody. And on top of that, they were sharing amongst each other topless photos of cheerleaders, all the nasty white cis man stuff. Like, he hit it all. Like, it's like the greatest hits of what they do. So going to be interesting to see how that, like, all the greatest hits, like literally everything. He even also talked about like how, like, he was upset that, you know, with the CTE stuff, and like saying people are getting soft and like being against like player safety and all that. So there was no way if he didn't resign, he was going to get fired, because he just like, no one's going to work for him.
Had to.
The interesting thing about this, because it's had kind of a spill parallel to all the Chappelle stuff going on, because, you know, some people have said, well, John was joking, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. And it's just a representation of like all marginalized groups have rules and like don't stand for certain things. But what came up, because like the first thing to come out in the emails was he was calling the NFL Players Association president like dumb. And he said he had like Michelin tire sized lips. So like racist tropes like that. So that was the first thing that came out. And you had these former players coming out and just black men coming out that knew him and saying like, no, he's not racist. He doesn't have a racist bone in his body, and defending him. Then it was leaked about his misogynistic and homophobic stuff, and like he got fired. So the Chappellian people were saying, see, that's Dave's point. Like, he wasn't fired until he said something about queer people. And it was like, no, this is actually the point of y'all defend him. Like, it was black men defending him and being like, he's not racist. He was just joking. I know him and all that. And like, just like caping for him, where it's just like, you could have known him and he may not have done this to you, but you could also stand out the way and let him just stand on his shit. Like, he, you know, like, y'all defend, this is what you put up with. Like, we wouldn't defend him. So that is the biggest difference. Like, that is how, again, how each marginalized group conducts itself when there is something like that said, or, you know, things that are offensive and outrageous and stuff like that. Like, you know, we may not agree about a lot in our community, but what we usually are pretty united on is like not being with the shits. Like, you're not going to insult the queer community, no matter what our race is or background or whatever. Like, we're pretty united on like, no, like, you know, we don't fuck with that. So it was interesting to see the talks, because of all the Chappelle stuff, like something like this happened where someone insulted literally everybody, you know? So, and seeing how the different groups handled it. So very interesting stuff going on. I'm sure more stuff will come out, because Bezos wants a team.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there was more stuff on that email. It's like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, there is. Like, it's, absolutely. Yeah. It's going to come out. All right. Our third category is the Dinah experience that Shayna had, that Shayna is trying to brush past, but we absolutely have time. I think our listeners would want us to shorten other parts of this show, but they absolutely want to hear about your Dinah experience. So I'm going to leave the floor to you. Why don't you give some background on Dinah Shore and tell us about your weekend and experience? Floor is yours. It's all yours.
We're fighting in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dinah Shore weekend is a very wholesome celebration between the queers, mainly around women, trans, non-binary identified folks, where we go and enjoy some light libations with some musical performances and a healthy workout within the pool area.
Oh, wow. So you say wholesome. Would these photos end up on your LinkedIn? Would you say that they're LinkedIn approved or... Because you said wholesome.
Who's taking the photo is the question.
Touche.
That's the question. Touché. Whoever depends on who's taking the photo.
You're like, and it depends on time of day.
Maybe yes. These are all factors. We're also, once we shifted to the evening festivities, where there were, you know, fun themes that were had at the events where we could get dressed up in terms of the theme. There were special guest performers that came to the stages, and then again some light exercise on the dance floor. Yes,
some light exercise on the dance floor. Got it.
Yes,
got it. So, how many libations did you have? Like, did you have a weekend full of libations? How was your friend group? Were they all? I would assume all wholesome activities that y'all did all weekend.
Always wholesome. Always wholesome and true.
Deep dive there.
To what it was, I stayed in a lovely, lovely, actually, this house was gangster, honestly. It was such a nice house. Shout out to my former roomie for getting this house because it was great. But there was a gaggle of us Black queers who were at the house minus my girlfriend. She's Mexican, so she was... She was the one and only that was allowed in the house that was there. But yes, we had a nice gaggle of, you know, queer, Black queers that were in the house. And yes, we did partake in some libations along with our pool workouts.
Pool
as
workouts.
You know, yes, our pool
did
exercises.
Did y'all have a hot tub?
Indeed. Indeed, we did. Indeed.
Did y'all get a chance to get in there?
Indeed.
Any activities in the hot tub or no?
I mean, there were libations happening in the hot tub. If there were other activities, I was not aware of them.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Were there any unexpected hookups during this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry. We had we had a wholesome time with respectful, consensual activities. Because like I said, when we have our Am I a Bad Queer segment, or the Bad Queer Opinion, I said we can't stay in a house without somebody hooking up with somebody else.
You did say that. Yeah.
So
shout out to the hookup.
This was a factual statement. There was hookups.
Okay. Plural.
That happened. But yes, but overall, no, for real, the squad that I went with was great. We definitely, like, one of the party nights, like, just rolled in like squad deep and just took over the whole dance floor. And you know, like, when you get to go with that group of people and you just really don't care about anybody else, you're just like, we're just gonna have a blast.
Yeah,
that is absolutely what we did in it. But yeah, no, Dinah was fun. Dinah was
how was the music
fun. They definitely, I feel like, just shared the same playlist over the entire weekend and just like remixed it a little bit. Because that's what it seemed like. It was like each DJ played the same types of tracks and then would throw in a couple of different things. And then
any full Black songs or did we get those remixed into techno?
We definitely did have some remixes, but we did have a couple. It wasn't much. But you know, Macy Gray performed, SWV performed,
that's awesome,
Young Baby Tate performed, so those were all like really great performances. But there were not any Black DJs. There was that. It was like we had Black headliners but we didn't have Black DJs.
Okay.
So yeah, so all that right. was a thing. But yeah, I mean, honestly, it was one of those where it was like, I was really happy with the group that we went with because the group made the event great. Mm-hmm. I think if it hadn't been for the group, the time would have honestly just been kind of basic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like the people we ran into and met and stuff in the hotel were really cool. Right. All of that. But overall, the event, it was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
Another one.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll give it a solid six.
A six.
For the weekend.
And that is only
like 10. Well, 10 hold on. What is, yeah, I was
going to say 10, Dinah.
10 plus with the separately. People that I was hanging out with and the group that I was with. But Dinah, mm-hmm. as like the experience itself, I'd give it a solid six.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I've never been to Dinah. It's obviously very big, especially once you move to California, mm-hmm. And everything since it's in Palm Springs. But I always thought it was just like an extended weekend of
queer debauchery. Yes. Yes, it is.
Sure.
That's basically what it is. Sure. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, it would be the music you described the whole weekend would be that kind of vibe where it's just like kinda, underwhelming at times.
Like, but we definitely a lot of queer
people,
like
it's always
find...
cool to party with, yeah, queer people in the sun, yeah. and everything. Like that's, well, yeah. never not.
Like that part was nice.
Always
you're feeling
six.
Safe in it, like right. and all the things. Even the security
beautiful
guard, like
people.
The security team that was there, they were all very nice and respectful. It was the good. Same ones every day, so you recognize their faces.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And they were like nice yeah. and talked to you, but when stuff went down, like they handled it real quick and real professional, which was awesome.
Were there a lot of things to go down or a good
not,
amount of things to go
not
down?
That I'm aware of, but like, okay. you know, we don't want to leave the pool area, but they were really chill about getting us to leave the pool area.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
It's summer in a desert. People passed out.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
so they were able
yes,
to come in
yes.
and like quickly move in and get the things and get yeah. the crowd to part without being like, you know how some security guards come in and be hella aggressive
yeah,
and
just like pull does everybody.
No, they're coming
yeah.
over and they're like, hey, we have something. You just got to move this way. And they were really cool about it. Or like you'd see the same ones at the door and things like that. And they would like tell you their names and they'd be cool mm-hmm. about it. You'd see them at the same night party. And you're just like,
got it.
Y'all have been working this cool. whole weekend. And they're just like, yeah, yeah, we are. But y'all that's are cool, cool. So thanks. And it was, you know, so those things that were set up were like solid. It never got too packed by any means. Like Saturday
good.
Was obviously the busiest day. But even for like the after party and stuff, there was never a moment where I was just like, oh man, COVID is breeding. It is breeding here. It was like, no, it was never too overwhelming. Like people came in and out. With it, Saturday was the busiest day, but the other days it was like you had space to like breathe and move around
oh, nice.
And all
that's
of that. So
blessing.
Yeah, all of it was good. All of it was good.
Cool.
Still a six.
What was your favorite party of the weekend? Dinah party.
The Friday pool party.
Okay.
The Friday pool party and then the Saturday night party, which was okay. the Hollywood party.
Ooh. Okay.
So all yeah, right. those were my two favorites. The Friday pool party, Saturday night party.
Good to know. Well, thank you for sharing your experience, Dinah Shore experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People need that. See, you have to, you know, you travel guide with some of these things.
Right.
You got to share
right.
out about your
okay.
festival.
We did it.
Experience. Glad we circled
Dinah.
Back. All right.
That's all we had to do.
On to... all right. On to our advice segment, Am I a Bad Queer? Send your questions to badqueers@her.app.com to be featured or DM us at BadQueersPod. All right, the first one. I always get nervous when I don't read through these, but I have to do it live. Be anything. The first one is from Natalie. Natalie asks, not really am I a bad queer question, but just curious what your opinions are. Woo. but
come
do
on,
you
Natalie.
Think that coming out with something that straight folks created to further discriminate against us, attack us, bully us? I'm not one for the whole coming out of the closet. If you know, you know. And that's for me and my squad. I was just curious about your thoughts. Thanks, Natalie. This is a cool one. I actually don't think that straight people are clever enough to create coming out of the closet. Like, I think that that's probably something we came up with as code word. I would love to know like the background around the saying. But yeah, I I don't think it's something they created to further discriminate against us or attack us or bully us. I think this was definitely community generated to kind of help assist in like identifying who is out, or just even phrasing in language around like the act of it, or, you know, actually coming out or making the announcement to the people who will either take it well or not well. Yeah. And I don't really have a problem with it now. Like I did love seeing on National Coming Out Day, the posts about people saying, even if you're not out, you know, happy coming out day. I do think it's important for folks to come out when it's safe or comfortable to do so. But I think I feel like this is community generated. Maybe it's not, but and I understand how everybody does what they do. Like, yeah, if it is a thing with you and your squad, then that works for y'all and that's fine. But some folks want to have a party when they come out. So yeah. What do you think?
I mean, honestly, I feel like bad queer because I don't know the history of coming out.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I feel like I should know.
I was like, wow. That's something I'm going to research this after. Mm-hmm. We're going to do some education next week.
We're going to circle back to that.
We are fully going to circle back because, yeah, I don't know the history of it. Yeah. But I honestly, with all the fuck shit that, you know, we're starting to like learn about history and all of the things that, you know, historical European white folks did and all the fucked up shit that they did. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised that if this was another thing that they did to say, like, this is how you do it. Because I remember, you know, obviously you remember the like friend of Dorothy. Mm-hmm. statement. Mm-hmm. And how did that not stick comparative to like coming out of the closet, where it's like, oh, why couldn't I just be like, oh yeah, like I'm a friend of Dorothy, and that's your technically like coming out statement, instead of saying like coming out of the closet? So then I'm like, what happened that was actually in the closet? So now I want to do my research. Yeah. But I honestly would not be surprised if it was something that was a part of what heterosexual cis straight people came up with as a way to say like, no, you should just like go and hide your feelings in the closet. And then we reclaimed it to say, well, we're coming out.
Yeah.
We're coming out. And then Diana Ross sang a whole song and we were like, yes, exactly. We're free. And that's what happened. So I feel like a really bad queer for that. So we're going to do our research. We're going to circle back, but I would not be surprised if it was.
I always thought it was like because like gay men, I definitely always thought it was gay men centric. So it's like, closet, clothes, coming out of the closet, fashion. Stuff, yeah. It's kind of what I always associated it with.
That's it. But now if we want to go on a dark side,
we will circle back to that, Natalie. Mm-hmm. Good question.
Great question. Mm-hmm. Okay. This next one is from Peaches. Peaches asks, am I a bad queer for being married to a man and not knowing what step to take next? Mm. So let's start by saying I've identified as bi since I was 14 to myself and 19 publicly. But as I've grown older and recognized more about myself and my romantic and sexual wants and needs, I realize I'm a whole lesbian.
Oh, hey girl.
I love it for you. And thanks to the help from my therapist, hello therapy, for the past 2 years, I am no longer crying at the fact that my entire romantic life and trauma could have been avoided if I would have accepted my truth a lot earlier. I'm only 28, by the way.
Oh, well.
You know, don't we all? Yeah. The problem is that one, I'm married to a man. I love him dearly and he is a great friend to me. Damn, you already friend zoned your husband?
Well,
I'm sorry. I gotta stop inserting my comments in this. I'm just like,
once you know your truth.
He is a great friend to me and has always been, but as soon as I came out again to myself, I just don't want anything to do with him in a romantic sense. Mm. And it was already hard for me before realizing it. We work well together, but I know I want to live my life fully and only be with women. I'm not sure how or if I even can approach the topic of a divorce with him. It's like, how do you tell someone, hey, the feelings I thought I had for you aren't real, and I was experiencing some serious compulsory heterosexuality in a sense and feeling pressure to be a Black woman married to a Black man. So we need to end this immediately.
That is a real thing.
I'm having a hard-ass time. Peaches.
Woof.
That whole last sentence really just like wrapped it up.
Yeah.
It wrapped it up where it's just like, hey, here's the thing that I really want to say to you. And I'm sure it yells out in your brain every time you two are sitting by yourselves. And you're like, is this the time that I tell him? Is this the time? Is this the time that I say, hey?
Yeah.
compulsory heterosexuality and I feel the pressure to be a Black woman married to a Black man. Because that's a whole other thing in itself. That like you really have tied in lots of intersectionality you in really this point do. Of being a Black woman that's expected to marry a Black man because of all of the tropes around being a Black woman married to a white man, Black men married to white women, all of the above, and how like one
Black women not being married.
One's a trophy. Yep, that part. One is a failure, blah, blah, blah. So before we dip deep in there, we're going to focus on your story and say you have literally already friend zoned your husband.
Yeah.
So
he is in there.
You might as well just real life friend zone him because like right now it's about you, girl.
Yeah.
You just said you a whole lesbian. Live in that truth. Just live in it, bask in it, glow in it. I know it's easier said than done because now you have to go through the whole logistics and it takes like a whole year, depending on where you live, to get the whole divorce stuff done. But how much of your happiness is being dwindled and how much of your light is being dwindled because you're choosing to stay in this marriage because of what outside perspectives think of you? Would be my question. And if any part of that makes you sit and pause, but literally from these sentences that you've written to us, that one, he's a dear friend to me. He's a friend. Hold on. What's the sentence? What's the sentence? Where is it?
Great friend.
Great friend. Thank you. And realize that you're a whole lesbian and that your therapist, you're not crying at the fact that your entire romantic life and trauma could have been avoided. It's time for you to have the romantic life that you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You can still love him in a friend way. And when it happens, because I believe in you, I think you'll be able to go and do this. When it happens, you also have to understand that like he's probably going to be in his feels for a bit and you have to respect the space and make sure that like you're clear in the communication and go from there and kind of like allow him to set boundaries and you set boundaries for yourself too, because he might come back and ask some really aggressive questions because he's upset. So, or just be very sad because he's upset, but you don't be afraid to set boundaries either. But I think it's time for you, especially you're about to turn 30 and stuff, girl, live that life.
Yeah.
Live it.
Yeah. It's no need to drag anything out or waste anybody else's time because, you know, you're doing this anything, for both of y'all, really.
Anything from the pandemonium that you've learned.
Yeah.
Life is hella short. You better do it.
Listen, time is of the essence. So, yeah, I mean, Peach is like, well, congratulations on your journey. And
big steps.
Yeah. Glad you had this revelation now, before maybe you were in a little bit deeper or had more, I don't know what assets y'all are, y'all have to split or what's going on. If y'all have any kids,
like children involved.
Yeah, exactly. But even with that, like, you know, everybody just wants to live a happy and full life and authentic life. And you deserve to do so. And he deserves to do so, to find somebody that, you know, has a deep romantic and sexual attraction to him. And you deserve to find somebody you have a deep romantic and sexual attraction to, too. Nothing malicious in this. I think, you know, obviously it is a spectrum. So you found out you really lean more one way. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So you got to have that conversation. And as Shayna mentioned, like everything that could come out of it with him being mad or sad or whatever emotions, as long as it's, you know, not violent or anything like that, he's allowed to have and feel. And, you know, he will be starting over as well. And hopefully y'all will be able to maintain a friendship, but maybe not. Like, I mean, it might be too much for him and, you know, he might not want that. So you have to be okay with that. But I do think you both deserve to be happy separately basically what it gets down to. So now that you know, I mean, it'd be worse if you kept wasting both of your time. And you know that this is not what you want and everything. So yeah, like divorce is tough. You know, I don't wish divorce on anybody, but you also have to live your life. So, yeah, hope that helps, Peaches. And, woof, yeah. 28, though, you know, you're pretty young. So, yeah. Shout out to Peaches. And shout out to your husband. Hopefully he takes this well. And if not, you still got to leave. So, it still is what it is. So
it is for you.
Yeah. All right. Our last bad queer opinion comes from Mikey. I hope I'm saying that right. Mikey? Okay. Am I a bad queer for not addressing homophobia within my community? I'm Black and queer, so I've heard all the names, slurs, stereotypes, all that. My family knows my sexuality, but are ignorant when it comes to the LGBTQ plus community. At this point, I'm tired of just taking it and letting their ignorance run rampant.
No, you were about to say that, right?
Right.
That ignorance.
Ignorance run rampant, but I'm even more tired thinking about the battle of having this battle with a large group of people when it's just me fighting back. Any tips?
Move.
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 I do think you're a bad queer opinion for not checking your family, because I think it's hard to check people you might not know. Like, some people might not be comfortable with checking people, like when things happen just randomly out. But I do think that everybody is responsible for their family. And that goes for any phobias and isms. How you go about it, I would say for me, it's always been just really persistent about, like, I'll say something, I'm not like yelling or anything, because it's like, it's not up for debate. Really, like, it's not. So, like, whatever they're saying, you know, correcting them and checking them, it is what it is. Like, you don't have to teach a class after it, like, or it doesn't have to be a whole teachable moment where you pull up like a whiteboard and you explain everything out, unless like they are genuinely curious. But like, let's say they are, you know, saying something transphobic, you could check them in that moment for that and correct them and like keep it pushing and be like, you know, you don't have to say that. Like, it doesn't have to be as big as you think it is. Like, checking somebody just is like, they'll have to think about it the next time they say it. Like, they'll remember that you checked them. So, mm-hmm. You know, I just think that, yeah, don't get overwhelmed by like what, you know, checking them comes with or whatever. But in the same way as like Black people, like, we want, I would actually look at it that way. What's helped me. And there's like a lot of like white Gen Z TikTokers who will confront their parents, and some of them aggressively and some of them just like talking to them regularly, just having a conversation, like trying to get down to like why you think this way. So it's up to you as far as approach, but like, most of it should be conversational. You don't want anything so defensive so that it does become a battle. If they make it that way, you know, you could stop it and, you know, diffuse the situation by, well, we'll talk about this at another time. But my comment still stands. Like, it's nothing to even really go back and forth with them about, because they are wrong about it. Like, I don't know, you know, the specifics of what they say and the slurs, but they're all wrong about it. So like, you know, you're right in it. It's nothing really to argue about. And yeah, like, you should start checking them. I do think you're responsible for your family. Yeah. I mean, that's what I got. I think, you know, again, looking at how you would want other people to fight for you if you weren't around, think of it that way, where it's like, you might not, you know, it doesn't have to be like a whole big fight. And I would actually advise against that. But yeah, you got to start checking them. You do. They've let it go. And I know you've let it go far enough. So you do need to start checking them. It's only going to get worse. So yeah, Shana, what you got?
I mean, in the essence that you checking them isn't going to cause you to be in an unsafe space or anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, check them. Check them. Check friends. Check fam. Check everybody. And I understand that you're tired and that then you become the one person that does it over and over and over and over again. Like, it doesn't mean that you have to do it all the time, but you can pick your moments. Mm-hmm. That'd be my main thing. If you're comfortable and you're safe, pick your moments of when you're going to check and when you're not, because it does, like, your mental health matters too.
Yeah.
On this. And you don't want to have to be constantly educating and constantly teaching and constantly going back and be like, grandma, don't say that. Like, we just discussed this. I did a PowerPoint last week. Like, come on, right. Pay attention. You don't have to do all of that, right? Like, I literally delivered it last week. So in that case, like, healthy balance for you. Like, do what your energy allows you to, do what safety allows you to, but do it in your own way, and pick the things that you're going to be consistent on.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd say.
Cool. I hope that helps. Yeah. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be for a while too. So it is a,
yeah, you know, the older they are,
get the endurance,
the more in their habits that they are.
Yep. Fully so, ingrained in everything. And then obviously they have they're squatted up. So it is, it is what it is.
You know
what?
You know what my nephew taught me last week about these pronouns.
Yeah.
Well, I got to know these pronouns. And then they back them up and then they come back and all of it's erased. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. 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 There's maybe some relational things that you can attribute it to, but yeah, good luck with that. I know there's a lot of those battles going on. And again, like we're getting to holiday season, so there's going to be more of that. So hope that helps. All right. That was our advice segment. Am I a bad queer? Send your questions to badqueers@theherapp.com to be featured, or DM us on IG @badqueerspod.
All right. What type of bad queers would we be if we didn't have unpopular queer opinions? My bad queer opinion this week is basically just like kind of like wrapping up all of these conversations that I've also been seeing on the internet, but we've been talking about it lately too, around like racism within the queer community and how it varies. And I just want to give like a happy, healthy reminder that anybody who says that they are queer first in their identities, once it comes to like race, gender, sexuality, if you're able to say that you're queer first, that is a privilege statement.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of those things where you are not one of those people who somebody looks at you and they don't see your skin color first. And if you're also one of those people that's trying to hold on to being like in the LGBTQ plus community, which is why, if it's one of those things where you're trying to like lean on the LGBTQ plus community and say like, no, people do discriminate against me because I'm part of the queer community, but you're a cis white man, like I am screaming privilege in your face.
Yeah.
And I just want to do that healthy reminder. I feel like we have to do it like once every couple of months to let the people know, but that's where we're at.
Yeah. It is one of those things. It's a quarterly PSA.
Quarterly reminder, quarterly update.
Mm-hmm.
That is a privilege statement. Thank you.
That is
passing the mic.
It. That is, I mean, got to keep saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My bad queer opinion, it really grinds my gears. Like, it really bothers me that women don't stick together nearly, not even close to what men do. Like, men will defend other men that they don't even know. Like, they don't even need to know the details. They'll just see that it is a man and they'll be like, no, well, he could, like, it is amazing how their like man love is and how it works. Like, it is the gayest thing I've seen. Like, cis man love is like the gayest shit I've ever seen in my life.
It's very real.
But it's so strong. Like, again, they don't even have to know each other for them to take up for each other. Conversely, women are very skeptical.
They listen
every light the fire.
What like, she do?
What I know of it
she
like, that. Like that. Like, it's just ready.
Well, she
like
said,
always.
You know who she used to date?
Always assuming worse intent. All of those things though. But that's literally how it goes. Like, it just drops down. Like, it will go from like, you know, shitting on the physical appearance to like things like you said, like where it's just like, well, you know, she used to date. Like, it is just so like women are so ready to tear down other women. Like, we're programmed, and I know we're socialized to, but also not so much anymore. Like, we gotta stop that shit. Like, it really is just like, again, like, no one else is going to come to our aid, like at all. Like, it is us. Like, it is, it is only us that are going to turn things around. Like, it's cool to have male allies. Like, it's going to take them a long time to turn that ship around. God, good God. Like, they're horrible to themselves, like to each other too. Like, they, let's like not get that twisted. Like, men are terrible to everybody, including men, but the way they defend and the way they cape and the way that they will like solid wall of protection. Like, they could care less. And I don't want us to get to the point where we don't care if like somebody's done something fucked up and we you know, protect them like how they do. But the way that they at least hang in together is just like, I am always so jealous of it, because it's like, the things we could do if we stuck together, like,
literally,
you know,
we could be running
like
everything.
It's wild. Like,
literally,
obviously this
everything.
Came up and popped into my mind. I think this all the time, but like, it popped into my mind with your story about NDub or the Australian team, because it's just like, they didn't have to say shit.
Right.
Like, they didn't have to say anything, or
like they didn't have to do all that.
at all. And when the PR asked them to, they could have been like, leave me the fuck out of this. And it's also wrong for you to be telling me that. Like, my experience is not that, you know, my experience is not that person's experience and everything. And like, I do honestly believe like our generation and younger are going to do so much better with this. Mm-hmm. But like, we still have to make sure we get there all the way with just like, yeah, looking out. Like, we really need to. Like, there's no one else. Like, we have to stick together better. Like, it's imperative. It is our lifeline. It is, the world is getting crazier. Men are getting crazier and all that. Cis men, gay men, like all them, they're it's across the board, but they will stick together. Like, it mm-hmm. is ridiculous how they do. Like, I don't know what it is. It's like imaginary, like Velcro. It exceeds that because again, they don't even have to know the guy. They'll just defend him. So yep. I just wish we stuck together more. And I know there's a lot of other people that wish that too. And let's all get together and stick together more. So, and agreed. I know it's a little bit harder because the older generation of women, you know, we don't do that reach back thing. And mm-hmm. also you do have like, you know, we talked about it a couple pods ago, like Felicia Rashad, like the old women that are like, well, I went through all this abuse and all this other things. Like, you should too.
We need to.
Yeah. Like you know, where it's like, why? Like, where they think that you should fall in line of like the things, the terrible shit that men did to them. Like, they mm-hmm. believe
like
should
this
just
is the
go
only way that you're going to be great is if you
exactly.
go through this trauma.
Exactly. Like look at how, me and all that. And I'm like, works. I am sorry. You are so traumatized that you don't even see how fucked up this is, but like, we don't have to do this. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not all older women, but you know, a lot of them for sure. So let's stick together. Like we deserve that. Or if you don't have anything nice to say, yeah, just shut the fuck up. Like don't say anything at all. Just like literally shut the fuck up. Like just don't say shit. Like, you know, just keep it pushing.
All right, y'all. Let's wrap it up. Because you know we would never leave you without giving a shout out to our faves. So I want to highlight Reverie TV. Because on October 11th, on National Coming Out Day, they had their Queer X Awards that highlighted actors, artists, musicians, filmmakers, and movers and shakers that are all a part of the LGBTQ plus community.
And movers and shakers.
You know? So shout out to them for providing a platform where we can highlight these amazing, amazing people who are doing great things in art and entertainment. So be sure to keep up to date with Reverie TV. You can follow them at Reverie, R-E-V-R-Y TV.
Nice. My shout out is to Coleman Domingo, queer actor, activist. He has been cast to play civil rights legend Bayard Rustin in an upcoming biopic that the Obamas are actually producing. That's going to be on
Netflix.
Obamas
are out here living their best life right now.
Yeah, I'm
Let me dabble in some stuff.
Some shit. A lot of money. Very excited to see this brought to the screen because Bayard Rustin is an unsung hero of the civil rights movement. He literally planned the entire March on Washington. Was an openly queer man. And I think with every movement, I think we would have obviously gone farther in the movement and everything if you have more diverse leadership and people in those positions. But I love it because I know that there's a lot of people, especially in the Black community and the straight community, that don't know the contributions that we as Black queer people have made on the front lines and shaping civil rights and everything. Martin Luther King learned a lot from Bayard Rustin. So I'm very excited for this. I love Coleman Domingo, who's been in Ma Rainey. I know he's been on Euphoria and a bunch of other things. He's having a great run. Shout out to him. I think it would be great to see him. You can follow him on IG at King of Bingo. And that is spelled like you think it's King of Bingo.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. And as always, we will see you next week.
Take care. This podcast was brought to you by the Her app, the largest LGBTQ plus dating and community app for women, trans, and non-binary folks. Be sure to download the app in the Apple Store or Google Play Store.
Shout out to Sienna Liggins for our amazing soundtrack and Cesar for making us sound like we know what we're doing.
It's me again. Can we talk about things? I'm so sorry that I'm coming.